Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Must Watch, the podcast that covers all things streaming. I'm your host, Jean Bentley, and I want to introduce to you what this podcast is going to look like for the next couple of weeks. So after Succession ended, producer Scott and I were looking for another show to recap, and we settled on the new Paramount Plus show, 1883, which is like a spinoff slash prequel of Yellowstone, aka Succession with Cowboys. So I am joined here by my new co-host and fellow freelance entertainment writer who has been a guest on this podcast a couple of times, Miss Lauren Pister. And she is joining me to cover 1883, which premiered with two episodes on Sunday, December 19th on Paramount Plus.
Hello.
Yes, that was a mouthful.
Yes.
But Lauren, thanks for joining me. Explain your connection to Yellowstone and also, you know, what you do.
Well, I recently worked for E! News, but I left and now I'm freelance.
Woohoo!
And I cover Yellowstone for TV Guide, so you can find my coverage there. And now I'm also covering 1883. So felt like a good thing to do next was to help Jean out.
Yeah.
With talking about cowboys.
Talk about cowboys, obviously. And so this means that you have interviewed basically everybody in this cast, which is very exciting.
Yes. The main cast members.
The main cast members. Okay, great. Well, we'll get into that further. So what this is going to be like on a week-to-week basis, this week we're going to talk about the show as a whole. We're going to talk a little bit about Taylor Sheridan's work. We're going to talk about why it is so friggin' confusing to find all of his shows. Like, where do you find it? Yellowstone is on Paramount Network, but it's not streaming on Paramount Plus. We're going to explain that in a minute. And then we're going to get into spoilers at the end of the episode. So we will give you a warning if you haven't had a chance to watch the first two episodes yet. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, let's get started. I want to talk about Taylor Sheridan first. Okay. I think, so I covered Mayor of Kingstown. Did you see me pause? I paused because I was like, what? I'm going to say the right one. I covered Mayor of Kingstown, not to be confused with Mayor of Easttown, for Rotten Tomatoes, and you cover Yellowstone and 1883 for TV Guide. So between the two of us, we've
got the Taylor Sheridan TV universe.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that there are a lot of similarities between a lot of his shows, but what can you say about kind of how specifically Yellowstone and 1883 really fit together?
Well, so Yellowstone is the story of this family, the Dutton family, led by John Dutton, who's Kevin Costner. And it's basically, they're the largest landowners in Montana. They're extremely rich in land and, like, cattle. And they're just this, they just kind of run everything, like, they have fingers in government. They are like livestock agents. So basically if anyone has a problem with like cows, they can just like show up with a gun. And it's very kind of shady, but like it's like a Western. It's like a modern Western set in present day. So it's them dealing with like changing technologies and changing attitudes and kind of liberal versus not totally conservative, but just like new liberal ideas that might not go with, you know, the down home country cowboy vibes that a lot of them have. And it's kind of Succession-esque where it's John Dutton and it's each of his kids kind of fighting for control in different ways through politics, or like one has kind of left the family and is coming back throughout the show. So there's a lot going on. But 1883 is about their ancestors, basically, when they settled that land in Montana. So they're not, you know, extremely connected because one is quite a few years before the other one.
Let's but, say like 140 years before the other one, maybe.
Give or take. Yeah. But they are definitely similar. Like, if you watch them without knowing, you'd be like, oh, these are really similar shows. Where there's almost a vibe of nothing happens until a bunch of crazy things happen, and then for a while, nothing happens.
Which is, I feel like, what people's complaints were about this past season, season three of Succession.
Yeah. It's a fair comparison.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch Succession and you're like, this is great, but it needs more cowboys, then try Yellowstone.
Try Yellowstone. I love it. Okay. And then the other fascinating part about this for me is, well, Mayor of Kingstown. Mayor of Kingstown is also a show about, like, three brothers and the generational troubles.
He's for sure got does he have some family issues he's working through in these shows?
Maybe.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, who could say? So, the Taylor Sheridan universe is just a really confusing victim of the streaming wars.
Yes.
Because the way that his shows are distributed is kind of nonsensical.
It's
like, it is bonkers, and it does make sense when you understand the reasoning behind it, but, like, okay.
So Yellowstone premiered 4 years ago. So it's on season four now. That was before Paramount Plus existed, but it was on Paramount Network.
Okay.
Which also Paramount Network hasn't existed for that long. Was it before?
Who knows? But, irrelevant. It's on Paramount Network now.
Which is a network, which is on TV.
On cable. You got to use a cable box.
Yes.
You got to subscribe.
Yes. It's like, it's on TV. You have to watch it on television or use the Paramount Network app to watch new episodes. However, previous seasons can be found on Peacock.
Sure.
Not Paramount Plus.
Sure.
You cannot watch any Yellowstone on Paramount Plus, despite the fact that Yellowstone airs on Paramount Network. However, the prequel series, 1883, airs on Paramount Plus. It's premiering a couple of episodes after Yellowstone, but it is not airing on Paramount Network. It is airing on Paramount Plus. But its sequel series is not.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, They're giving the Yellowstone viewers who are cable subscribers a taste.
And then they're like, but you gotta go over to Paramount Plus. But you can't watch Yellowstone on Paramount Plus, but you can watch
1883 on Paramount Plus.
And while you're there, maybe you should watch some Mayor of Kingstown, because that's on Paramount Plus, right?
Right? Yeah. So the reason that happened is because Yellowstone premiered before Paramount Plus was a thing. So the streaming rights were sold.
Business, you know.
I mean, it's like, it's totally nonsensical, but we actually understand why.
It's the Succession. They're
streaming.
Content.
So, Paramount Plus is Gojo. No, just kidding. So that's kind of the whole deal with this universe of shows. It is kind of confusing, but hopefully you got it.
But here's the thing. You don't have to watch Yellowstone to watch 1883.
That's true, because guess what? I didn't. I have not seen Yellowstone, but I have now seen 1883, and I really enjoyed it.
You don't need any context for
I didn't have any questions in regards to what was happening, because it's, you know, it's starting this new story. Obviously, I'm sure there are connections that you can make as a Yellowstone viewer that are exciting, but, like, in general, and to watch the show, you definitely don't need any prior knowledge.
Tim McGraw called them separate animals.
Okay.
So.
Well, if Tim McGraw says it, I'm inclined to believe it.
Tim McGraw also said there will be no singing, which I find sort of a crime because it stars him in Faith Hill.
That's he's so like, rude.
He's like, this is just not this kind of show for singing. I'm like, people sang in the 1880s, but it's fine. Whatever.
Whatever.
I'm not mad.
That's silly, but I understand because they definitely don't want a gimmick of, like, now Faith Hill and Tim McGraw are going to sing a Christmas duet. Everybody gather around the, you know, fire or whatever.
Ryan Bingham or whatever is on Yellowstone and he sings sometimes. And there was a recent episode where someone bashed his guitar against the wall because they were tired of him singing.
Okay, so that is what Taylor Sheridan thinks about music.
Yeah.
Confirmed. Just kidding. Okay, so 1883, I know, so we're going to talk about it non-spoilery first, so don't worry. This is just going to be kind of a general discussion. I think that you and I both really enjoyed it, but I feel like you enjoyed it maybe more. I think that for me, it was really just learning about, okay, this is a family and they're kind of heading on the Oregon Trail out west, basically. That's essentially what it is, like covered wagons and camping and cowboys. That's what it is.
Yes. I think having watched every episode of Yellowstone, I was expecting it to be a lot more male-focused. Mm. And so I was so pleasantly surprised when I realized the main character is the teenage daughter and not Tim McGraw. As much as I like Tim McGraw, it was an interesting change from Yellowstone, where we're following a female character, and she's not the only female character for the most part on the show.
Yeah, because I think that is basically my major complaint, at least with Mayor of Kingstown, is like the only female character on that show is Diane Wiest, and she is, you know, their mom. So it's just a mom character.
It's clear that Taylor Sheridan has like an obsession with masculinity and like manly men being men. And there's not always like a real exploration of what that means. It's just like, these men are men.
Yeah.
And we say lots of platitudes about men being men.
Yeah. I should also say, on Mayor of Kingstown, there are other female characters, but in the first two episodes, Diane Wiest is the only one with, like, lines, storyline, you know?
There are two main female characters on Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
The rest are all good old cowboys.
And, like, I guess so far on 1883, there are only really two
Faith Hill and her daughter.
Yeah, but they're
The center of the action.
More of the center of it.
And it's also interesting to me because it's not like, this is the female protagonist and now we're going to see all these things that are difficult for her because she's a lady. Like, that's not that's not the plot. It's just through the eyes of this teenage girl, which is interesting.
Well, because part of it is, like, they're leaving society. They're leaving the society that they know and all the rules about being a woman that they have been following, and that, like, Elsa, the daughter, has been struggling to follow, clearly. She's about 18. It's, like, her 18th birthday in the second episode. So, like, the show is about them kind of being able to throw that away and figuring out what their new lives and what the new world looks like. So that, I just find, is a really interesting aspect of the show that I wasn't expecting and that I was really excited to get to see.
Another part that I really loved was literally just Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott is a man who was born to be a cowboy.
Who's always the same, but it's never a problem.
Right.
Like, this is always just Sam Elliott. And you're like, all right.
That's what I want from him. That's what he does incredibly well. And guess what? He's great.
Like,
he's
I think of him on a horse. But when I talked to him, because apparently they had to do, like, extensive cowboy camp where they all had to, like, basically the set of this was, like, totally immersive, where it was, like, they were in the 1800s, like, surrounded by covered wagons. Nothing was, like, not practical. But Sam Elliott was so busy with MacGruber that he didn't get to go to cowboy camp. And he was like, I wish I went to cowboy camp because I haven't been on a horse in 20 years.
Which is wild because he just looks like the kind of man who rides a horse.
Yeah, he looks like he belongs on a horse.
He belongs on a horse. So one issue with the show, not enough hot cowboys.
Yes. Okay, this is a major issue for me because, like, I love a cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, on Yellowstone, none of them are hot. Like, how is Kevin Costner the hottest cowboy on Yellowstone? That doesn't make any sense to me. And then in the first episode of Yellowstone, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen the very first episode of Yellowstone, they kill off Dave Annible. He could have been the hot cowboy of the show, and they kill him off. And I find that rude. And so, like, maybe on 1883, they could have had more hot cowboys. And, like, LaMonia Garrett is pretty hot.
Yeah. He's the sheriff.
Yeah. No, he's, right?
Who is he?
He
was kind of sheriffy.
Sort of. So Sam Elliott's character is a Pinkerton agent, which was like the agency.
Interesting.
That kind
I
of
didn't
like,
get that.
Yes.
Okay. I'm learning a lot.
There are a lot of things it's hard to get from watching the show that you kind of just have to read the character descriptions and learn things. So he's a Pinkerton agent who has been hired by all of these immigrants to take them across the country. Thomas, who's LaMonica Garrett, who I know best from playing like the bad guy in the Arrowverse.
Yeah,
that's playing the Monitor in the Arrowverse and like the crossovers. But he, so that's his like best friend and right hand man, kind of just like his assistant guy.
Well, I guess I did get that they were both in positions of authority.
Yeah, they're not technically sheriffs, but they're like, yeah, they're in positions of authority.
Yeah. Okay, this is good information.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that if I had a complaint about that, about the show, maybe that's what it is. It's definitely a slow burn of information.
Yes.
And I don't mind having to figure things out for myself, but I would appreciate it being distributed a little faster, the information.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Like, I didn't realize that, like, one of the characters was Tim McGraw's sister the whole time until the end of the second episode when I Googled it.
So. Yeah. But I think that there are some, you know, attractive young cowboys in this, but they're also very dirty and very hairy. So, which is probably like, realistic,
listen,
but this is television, okay?
It's realistic. But where is the fantasy element of the hot cowboys?
Yeah, if
where is it?
If this 18-year-old girl can look hot on riding a horse with her
in her weird little bonnet,
yeah, then you know you could make the cowboys hot. But that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. We'll allow you to address that in future episodes, Taylor Sheridan.
That's easy to do later. They can add more hot cowboys.
So, do you want to switch to the spoiler? Do you want to get spoilery?
I do want to say before we get spoilery that there is an interesting, that like something I had not considered before was the like Civil War element that, you know, these are Southern people who we are following. So like if anyone is worried about that, they handle it interestingly in a way that like didn't make me worried, I would say.
That's good to know.
But we can get into that with
The
opening scene from the second episode.
Yeah. Well, so now we're going to talk about episodes 1 and 2, which were the first ones released on Paramount Plus. And I think that it's smart that they released them both because they definitely feel like one big setup.
Yeah.
But this is the spoiler warning. We're going to talk spoilers probably from now towards the end. So if you still haven't watched, pause, check it out, and then tune back in. Okay, so the episode opens up in the middle of something crazy happening. It's you know, in media ray opening that so many TV shows are doing, but it is intriguing. But basically, the daughter
who's... So you meet this daughter who has this very, like, optimistic, naive, she's so excited, she's like jumping off the train to go meet her dad, like she's like, this is life, like this is the life that I want to live, this like freedom. But the very first scene is her like waking up to like just tragedy all around her, and like it's like Native Americans have attacked and she like goes on a rampage,
she kills one of them.
So it's like, and then you go back and you see this kind of like wide-eyed girl. And so you're like, well, this is some, she's going to lose this.
Yes, exactly. Like, so this is what we're going to watch.
We're about to see this girl go down this really dark path.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But I was kind of, I just kind of kept being like, when is this? Like, it kind of threw me off and it made me take a little bit of time to get into the show, I would say.
Yeah, it definitely... You have to think about what is going on. But I do like that they're establishing at first that she's really gonna be a really independent kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of girl.
Yeah, she's gonna be a female character in a Taylor Sheridan show.
Yeah, okay. A little firecracker, if you will.
Yeah.
So basically, we kind of see what it's like out west. Tim McGraw's out there. He's waiting for his wife and kids to come join him.
And his sister.
Claire, who we didn't realize is his sister.
Yeah, and her annoying daughter.
And so they all go set out with Sam Elliott and Monica Garrett, whose character names I guess I will eventually learn, but I simply don't know them now. Shay and Thomas are leading kind of these pioneers, right? This Southern family. There's a lot of German immigrants.
Yeah, it's a bunch of immigrants from different places who have all, they've hired Shay and Thomas to take them to Oregon. And they could take a train to Oregon, but the train is too expensive.
Right. So they're trying to go out west, you know, manifest destiny, yeah, live the American dream, et cetera, et cetera.
But basically, Shay's like, you are deeply unprepared for this.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Elliott's like, you are all idiots. None of you have guns.
Yeah.
None of you have, you don't have enough gear. And they're like, what is gear? So.
Yeah. And then
they're not ready.
Yeah, they're not ready. And you see that as they set out and like the Germans don't even realize that you have to boil the water to make it safe to drink when they're, so they're getting insane, you know, stomach issues from drinking this bacteria filled water.
Yeah. So you basically know this is not going to go well.
It's not going to go well. Exactly.
Yeah. There was an interesting scene that the first time I watched it, I didn't fully understand what was going on. I was like, why are they inspecting all the naked women and like naked people? Because they were looking for smallpox.
Yes. So smallpox is also, so you see that Sam Elliott's family basically has died of
that
smallpox.
That was a thing that happened at the beginning where he had to burn down his house after his wife died of smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, like, sort of an interesting guy where he's, like, very menacing, but then also, like, you feel really bad for him.
Yeah, he's a little softy. He doesn't drink.
He's yelling at all these people, but he's, like, doing it for a reason because clearly they are not prepared for this trip. So basically he kind of gets Tim McGraw to have his family join them to help because Tim McGraw is, like, good with horses and stuff.
And his family is too. We learn the daughter is really good on horses and they immediately enlist her to help, you know, drive some cattle. And and I think, so what you were mentioning too, in episode two, there's a flashback that starts the episode of Tim McGraw on the battlefield at Antietam.
Yeah. So we basically realize he was a Confederate soldier who was one of the very few survivors of this battle that was like a turning point in the Civil War. I did a lot of Googling.
Yeah. It was a very, really it was like the biggest, bloodiest battle of the Civil War.
Where like, it kind of established that the Confederacy was going to lose. And it was like a year after the Emancipation Proclamation, which is the hardest thing to say.
Yeah, easy to say.
But so like that opening scene of episode two is very confusing because you're like, why is Tom Hanks?
Why is Tom Hanks there? I texted you like, haha, that man looks like Tom Hanks, but it can't be Tom Hanks. And you were like, no, that's Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Which I don't think I would have noticed, because I have a little bit of face blindness. But I don't think I would have noticed that was Tom Hanks, because he barely speaks, too. He's just, like, he's a Union soldier who approaches, like, the last survivor of Antietam, who is Tim McGraw. So then he just, like, sits next to him and kind of comforts him and barely says anything to him. But then you learn via Elsa's voiceover that he then spent 3 years in Union prison. And then when he came out, he, like, was 97 pounds, which sounds crazy.
Yeah.
And he, like, refused to acknowledge the war. If any soldiers he knew ever approached him, he just, like, pretended he didn't know them. And he would lie to people and say he didn't fight in it.
And that feels like something that's going to come back to haunt him,
so Lauren. But that was interesting to me because I was like, so we're confirming he fully fought for the Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, ooh. But then, so I am hoping that they explore that a little bit more because I do find that fascinating, but I hope that they, like, handle it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so basically these first two episodes end, they've set off on the trip. The Germans are a mess. Don't understand how they have to do
it. The first episode is, like, just establishing things.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of getting you to understand who these people are. In the second episode, they're, like, setting up camp as they're preparing to go, getting everybody ready, teaching all the immigrants that they have to boil water.
Yes. And then some menacing dudes from town.
Okay. James, he's like, we have to go wrangle some cattle to bring on the trip. We need all the riders we can get. That includes Elsa.
Yes.
And that's one of my favorite lines is when Faith Hill is like, you're not even going to let me, like, have a choice in this. And he's like, nope. And she's like, how am I going to make her a lady? And he's like, we got enough ladies, but there are not enough decent men or something like that. Delightful.
Yeah. And that's clearly, like, the point of the show.
Basically, that's the...
So Elsa's, you know, wrangling cattle.
So Elsa and all of the men...
All of them. Leave. Yes.
And, like, James gives Margaret a shotgun, but you're like... Okay. obviously something's going to happen because he just gave her a shotgun to use in case something happens.
And guess what? Something happens. These guys from town come in and try to rob them, basically. Mm-hmm. And Tim McGraw's, what's Tim McGraw's name? We keep saying Tim McGraw. James's sister, Claire.
I mean, it's going to be hard not to just say Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
The they are Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. Yeah. It's fine.
Tim McGraw is more disguised.
Yes, he is.
That's Faith Hill.
That's Faith Hill, and she's beautiful.
She looks amazing.
But yeah, so Claire, James's sister, mm-hmm. is not having any of this, and she starts throwing rocks at the men.
She's also been the one the whole time who, like, has the most problems with everything.
Right.
And it's been established that she lost her husband. But that's not sad, because if you believe in heaven...
Yeah, exactly.
It's sad or whatever.
So she's a widow, she's with her teenage daughter. Okay, so then she attacks these guys, and these guys fight back.
She throws rocks at them.
They end up shooting at them, and they kill Claire's daughter. And she's basically distraught because she has nothing to live for.
At first, I thought she had been hit because she looked so, like, shell-shocked.
Yeah.
But it was just that her daughter had died.
And we learned that she had 7 children and has buried all of them and her husband.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the episode, as everybody else kind of goes to set off on their journey.
Yeah. Because they realize they have to leave.
Because they went back into town and... literally just went into the saloon and shot all of the guys who were a part of it.
But it was, like, the sheriff.
The sheriff of the town.
It wasn't even, like, them.
Yeah. It was the sheriff that did it.
It was official business of the sheriff. Yeah. Who just went into the saloon and shot all the men who were involved.
So then Sam Elliott's like, we gotta get on the road because these people are gonna come retaliate if we don't. And Claire is like, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
I don't have anything else to live for. And she shoots herself as everyone goes off. And it's kind of alarming because I didn't think they were going to show it. I thought we were going to hear a gunshot, but no, you fully see it. But also, I don't blame her. I understand it. What is she doing this for?
And watching James and Shay, like, bury her.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Yeah, it was really sad. But
I realized that she was James' sister.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really just setting the tone that this is going to have casualties. This is going to be hard.
Yeah.
Not everybody is going to make it.
I think it's a very, like, very... If you thought you were going into, like, a fun Oregon Trail journey, that's not what this is.
No, exactly.
It's also, like, Yellowstone is very dark, but this has a different level of darkness to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so that's kind of the first two episodes. That's where we're left at the end of these premiere episodes. So... I think it's a really solid setup. I really enjoyed the episodes. I thought they were sometimes a little bit too slow moving, as I said before.
Yeah.
I needed more information.
That is not just unique to 1883.
Exactly. And I'm okay with that. Not all shows have to be super fast paced and action.
Because, like, a lot of Yellowstone is like, here's just, like, life on the ranch.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of people die and one big thing. And then life on the ranch. So it's a lot of life on the ranch.
Yeah. And I feel like that's beautiful vistas.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what the show's going to be like, too, is, like, life in these camps, in the wagons.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, ever the intrepid E! News reporter, you made us a game.
Do not call me an E! News reporter.
No.
Well, it's sort of a game. It's Taylor Sheridan / Yellowstone Bingo.
Yeah, there you go.
So basically, I made a list of things that the two kind of share or that, like, are very common on Yellowstone. And I feel like this will be an evolving feature because things will, you know, as the season goes on, there will be more of these.
Mm-hmm.
There will definitely be more additions to this list, okay. I feel like. So the first one, a Yellowstone favorite, is Men Get Revenge.
Wow. That definitely happens.
Men got revenge. They also, like, love to, like, confront people in saloons or in bars.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we're going to see a lot of that. Though I'm confused about the amount of places that will have saloons.
Yeah, like, how settled is the West at this point? I'm not sure.
There's a train that goes all the way through it. I was trying to figure this out. Because, like, Montana and all those states, they're all states at this point. But I don't know how settled they are. So that'll be interesting. But men get revenge, I feel like we're going to see a lot of.
Uh-huh. And that happens in Mayor of Kingstown, too. That's essentially the premise of the show, is Jeremy Renner getting revenge.
Men get revenge. So, and then we have questionable justice from law enforcement, which goes along with men get revenge, but, like, the people who are, like, tasked with actually enforcing the law don't always do it in the most lawful way.
That, that too, happens in Mayor of Kingstown, so check, check.
Yeah. A woman almost gets assaulted, but a man saves her.
Oh, that happens to Elsa in the first...
I was so scared. I was like, this man is going to rape her and it's going to, like, already ruin her, like, her whole attitude before she even gets on the road.
Yeah.
And then Tim McGraw shot him in the head.
Good.
So...
Good.
We have that.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, as we go forward, we kind of see how many of these things we get.
Okay.
And then kind of see how the show scores.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also have a person or animal is mercy killed.
Okay.
Which I feel like Claire killing herself is kind of.
Yeah.
That.
That definitely happens. Like, she had
nothing to live for. That's how Yellowstone opens, with Kevin Costner killing a horse because it gets in a car accident.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's really upsetting. He like hugs it and kisses it and then shoots it in the head.
Oh no.
This is a weird franchise. And then one of my favorites is Cowboy Wisdom. Where they say just, like, lines that sound like they're, like, proverbs, but no one said them before. Which is the plenty of ladies in this world, pretty short on decent men, though.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like that qualifies. One of my favorites from Yellowstone is, if your daughter's riding a horse, nobody's riding her.
Yeah, that does sound like something people would say, but they don't. No one says that.
They say it in a way that's like, oh, everybody knows this, but no one's ever said those words before.
I love it. It's my favorite. I love it.
We could make a list of them. I love it.
Yeah.
Somebody criticizes a Dutton woman for not being like other girls. People love to do that.
Yeah. Well, she's not like the other girls.
She's not like the other girls.
It's fine.
Faith Hill drinks coffee.
Well, yeah, exactly.
What woman drinks coffee?
What woman?
And then finally we have Cowboys Will Be Cowboys, which is basically just like boys being boys, just like men roughhousing.
Yeah. Though, I think there's some of that in the show, but I think that they established very quickly that that's not what 1883 is fully going to be about, which I really appreciate. I think it just gives the show a lot more depth. But I'm also down for cowboys being cowboys.
Yeah. It's just, like, very much a thing on Yellowstone where, like, there'll just be long scenes of just, like, all the cowboys living together in the bunkhouse and just, like, fighting and, like, hooking up with girls and... playing games, and you're just like, I don't know why I'm watching this, but it's just the cowboys being cowboys.
Yeah. Cowboys gonna cowboy.
Or it's like one of them does something wrong and then they have to get beat up. And you're like, why? And
what?
This is for your own good. And you're like, is it?
Cowboy rules are different than regular rules.
So I was
rules.
Kind of thinking that, like, you know, the guy who was like flirting with Elsa on the horse, I'm just wondering how many of those guys we'll get to know.
Yeah.
So an interesting thing on Yellowstone is that all the cowboys who belong to the Dutton Ranch are branded, like literally like cows.
Whoa.
They're like branded with like the Yellowstone symbol.
From what I know of Nexium, you shouldn't brand
exactly.
people.
So it's like a thing on that show. There's a scene where someone like does something really bad and so he gets his brand removed.
How do you do that, Lauren?
How do you imagine you might do
that? Oh, yikes.
So there's like real darkness in this in this ranch. And I am wondering how much of that we will get into, how much of the like loyalty aspect this show will get into. Like, does it go as far back as the 1800s? The little kid is named John Sr., but I don't know how many Johns back he is. Like, I guess it would make sense if he's, like, Kevin Costner's grandfather.
Yeah. That would make sense. Yeah. Or great-grandfather, depending on...
Yeah. I mean, if he was born in, like, the 1870s...
Yeah.
I don't know. Math.
Yeah. So if he's born in the 1870s and let's say he has...
I feel like Kevin Costner's grandfather makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Costner is my parents' age and my mom's grandparents were born in the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And the early 1900s. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just wondering how much we'll get into, like, the real creepy parts of Yellowstone and, like, how deep does that go? Because yeah. When I talked to the whole cast, they all, like, teased, we'll see where the gene pool came from. We'll understand, like, how the Dutton family kind of came to be the way they are. Okay. So I'm wondering if that includes the branding and just, like, the intense obsession with loyalty.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if we do get that, to be honest. I mean, obviously, we'll have to see as the weeks go on. But
it's just interesting because it would surprise me based on, like, the people we've met so far.
Yeah.
They seem like a pretty, like, solid, loving family in a way that the Duttons are not on Yellowstone.
Interesting. Well, we're about to find out. I mean,
Did you, like, what sense did you get from them not really knowing anything about Yellowstone? Like, what would you say about this family?
Yeah, I would say pretty normal family. They seem pretty progressive. The dad lets the daughter do these traditionally male tasks. And so I think that it will be interesting to see how that progresses and what they do and don't keep of those traits as they spend more time on the road. That's the question, right? It's going to be, how is this journey going to change them?
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
Well, it's like everyone says that we'll find out why they're fighting so hard to keep their land. So I'm just wondering. I'm fascinated to find out how these people, like, turn into that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, clearly they're going to face death. They're going to face, you know, some enemies. But it will definitely be very interesting to see how that kind of progresses, for sure. And how we get a shot of Elsa with a full arrow through her torso. Shooting.
When do you think that is? Like, is that the end of the season? Like,
that's a great question. I don't know.
I was just like, where are we here? Like, what?
Yeah.
Because there was no, like, 3 years later or whatever.
Exactly. There was no time. Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. We'll find out. If that's what happens at the end of season one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is going to happen with the show? But we'll find out. So that's it for this week. We hope you like our new recap show. If you do, please feel free to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And now, as of this week, on Spotify. And hit us up on Twitter at Hygiene and at Lauren Pister. And tune in next week where we're going to recap and talk about episode 3 and how the show is progressing.
Yeah. See you next week.
See you next week.